chapter 13, and our introductory text for our meditation this evening comes from verse 4. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given to us the complete scriptures as you have. We thank you that you give us those portions that tell us so plainly that we need to believe on your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for us to be declared righteous, us to be justified from all of our sins. And we're grateful as well for the practical sayings that come from the book of Proverbs that stick in our minds and give us the practical prods that we need to imitate you and be conformed to the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray for your blessing on our meditation. Please send your Holy Spirit. Grant that we would have minds that would be caught up with the truth of your scriptures. And we pray that suitable applications would come to all of our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I want this evening to open a proverb and consider it in its larger context of the book of Proverbs. That text, as it has just been read, is the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. To me, this is a suitable September text. Our vacations are largely over, and we are coming back to the normal routine, perhaps against our will. Perhaps we need an encouragement that the normal routine of work that God has given to us is good. It is godlike. September is a time when there is a return to the school year. And whether or not you're going off to the university or you're rolling out of bed and starting homeschool still in your pajamas, yet you need this encouragement and this reminder at the beginning of the school year. Now, the preaching of a text such as Proverbs 13:4 may appear to some as duty preaching. And let's face it, it is. But it is a part of the Word of God that comes to us, giving us the breadth of practical direction that the Word of God gives to us. But let us bear in mind that the God of the book of Proverbs is the God of the creation week, who worked each of those 6 days and several times said it was good. And at the end, it was very good. The God of Proverbs is as well the God of the creation ordinance of labor. Man was placed in the garden to work, to tend it. The God of the book of Proverbs is the God-man who worked while it was day with the consideration that the night was coming. The God of the book of Proverbs is the God-man who self-consciously completed all of the work that the Father had given him to do. And the God of Proverbs is as well the God of the new covenant. And the promise of the new covenant is that there will be forgiveness that is realized for the people of God. The promise of the new covenant is that they shall all know the Lord, from the least of them to the greatest of them. And what was the third part? God will take his law and write it on the hearts of his people. They will have a sense that this is what God wants me to do, and I want to do it from the core of my being. The God of the book of Proverbs is as well the God of the Apostle Paul, who urged us that we are to labor so that we will be able to set aside to give to those who have need. And that same apostle who taught us that those who don't work ought not to eat. So it is with just that little bit of background and no apology that we come to the book of Proverbs, verse 4 of chapter 13. Now, let me mention at the outset of our study this evening something of a word of balance. As I speak on the matter of labor to this group of hearers, I am not inclined to believe that there is an overall bent towards laziness. There may be an overall bent to overworking, to having very strong Puritan work ethic that takes us in a particular bent and direction. Yet nonetheless, for the young among us, thirdly, see the biblical usage. How does the Bible speak of this matter of laziness? Well, laziness can be seen, first of all, number one, in a failure to start a task. But I think Kidner is the one that speaks of a non-starter. Here's the focal point of Proverbs 6 and verse 6. You go to the ant. And I invite you, as we have so many texts here in the book of Proverbs in relatively a short span, turn with me to these various passages. Proverbs 6 and verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. And the picture that is given to us is there is the industrious ant that as the sun comes out and warms the little hole there on the anthill, the ants are at work. And on the other hand, the sluggard is still in bed. And when we ask him, when are you going to get up? He doesn't like that definiteness. When? It's a little later. A little sleep. Notice with me, though, that it's not an absolute refusal to go to work. It's just a little sleep, a little slumber, just a little bit of folding the hands, and then we'll get to it. But it's a failure to start the task. He deceives himself by the smallness of his refusals, and in inches and in minutes, his opportunity slips away. Beware of procrastination. Failure to start a task is one aspect of laziness. Secondly, too, biblical usage. There is the failure to work on a critical task. This might speak of the one who is non-motivated. With Proverbs 6 and verse 6 in view, you've got the ant that is going out, working hard all through the summer, pulling in the harvest. Now, consider with me Proverbs 10 and verse 5 of the non-motivated individual. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Perhaps it's not such a big deal to sleep in when it's a rainy day and there's no work that can be done out in the fields. But on a day when it's harvest time, the critical month or the critical 2 weeks when the benefits of the whole year are hanging in the balance, that's a time for us to sense some motivation and have something rise up within us and say, boom, I got to get out of bed and I got to go work. But here's the one who does not feel that urgency. They can sleep in a time of harvest. Such a son causes shame, particularly to one in an agrarian society. There was no appreciation of the critical seasons to push oneself hard. And so we learn that a part of biblical diligence is to have a sense of priority. This needs to be done. This needs to be done now. And this needs to be on. I need to be on this right away. Schoolwork versus Facebook. housework versus Facebook. There is a sense of priority. This is what needs to be done now. This is what needs to be done first. But thirdly, the biblical usage here of laziness is found in the failure to complete a task. Here, Proverbs 12 and verse 27. Here is the non-finisher. Sometimes laziness is seen and it just can't quite get started. It can't even get started when it's an important task, harvest. But Proverbs 12 and verse 27 gives us a very interesting picture. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession. It's too much work to complete the project. Now, somehow, this individual worked up enough motivation to get out there, perhaps early, and maybe it's only happenstance that the game ran right into his path and ran into his arrow. I don't know. Or perhaps there was diligence in the timing and the labor to get it, but it's just worn out with all of that accomplishment. And so then you've got the dead deer or you've got the dead quail. But that's where it stays. Too much work to go ahead and fix it and prepare the meal. You see the text, the lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting. Kidner comments, the wise man knows that the sluggard is no freak. Special, weird kind of person that just is born into the world. But the wise man knows he is no freak, but as often as not, an ordinary man who has made too many excuses, too many refusals, and too many postponements. It has all been as imperceptible as falling asleep. Well, so much then for a definition, the nature of laziness. Let's come in the second place to look at those proverbs that speak to us, Roman numeral 2, of the results from laziness. What does it cause? What's going to come from it? Well, first of all, if we begin with that category here of these various results, the category that has the most proverbs that fit into this category, we find, first of all, a failed satisfaction. A failed satisfaction. What do I mean by this? Well, our God, during the creation week, said, it is good. At the end of the creation week, he said, it is very good. And men and women, boys and girls, ought to have a sense that when this job is completed, ha, that looks good. I am pleased that this has been accomplished. I am being like God in looking at what I've accomplished and having a sense of satisfaction. The lazy man cuts himself off from that benefit. Proverbs 12 and verse 27. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting. As a non-finisher, the indolent throws away his chances. And the picture seems to be that the lazy man can starve in the midst of provision simply due to his laziness. He got the deer. He got the quail. But he didn't get it in the pot. And he didn't get it to his mouth. A failed sense of satisfaction of, oh, this venison is good. And I was able to, under the blessing of God, to do this, this, and this in the catching of it, and this, this, and this in the preparation of it, and now the sense of satisfaction of eating it. Proverbs 13 and verse 4 points to this failed satisfaction. The soul of a lazy man desires, and in keeping with the nature of the Hebrew tongue, Hebrew words have a range of meaning. And this word that is translated in our New King James as soul, some want to translate it as desire. And the reason that they do so, or want to do so, is that the word for soul, nephesh, is sometimes rendered for soul, self, life, creature, person, appetite, living being, desire, emotion, or passion. If you look just back to Proverbs 13 and verse 2, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. And there, this word is rendered in our New King James as soul, New American Standard. I think it has desire. That's a recognition that it points to the desire. And then Proverbs 13 and verse 3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, preserves his soul. So this proverb has a, or this word soul has a spectrum of meaning. But whatever it is, it's pointing to something of the desire of the man, the desire of the life. He is the one who has desires, but he doesn't have anything in his hands. On the other hand, the desire or the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. So one guy has got the cravings, but the inability to work to satisfy those cravings. Proverbs 19 and verse 24. Graphic picture before us. 19:24. A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. You get what Solomon is doing here? It's a tragic comedy, isn't it? He's got his hand. Oh, the heroic effort. He was able to reach out to the table and stick his hand down into the serving bowl. But that's it. He can't bring it back. He can't complete the task. Is Solomon using a little bit of humor? Well, yes. Is he poking fun? Is he being sarcastic? Yes. He wants to make a point that if you're a lazy individual, you're like the individual reaches out and gets that far but doesn't complete the task. So you're not going to have the satisfaction of having eaten. Proverbs 21, 25 and 26. Proverbs 21, verse 25. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. Why doesn't that individual get to work? Well, maybe he or she just doesn't have any desires, doesn't know any better, doesn't know any better than to want something and go after it. Well, he does know better. He's greedily desiring all day long. He's wanting. And so there is that failure to satisfy these desires because the hands won't cooperate with the desire that is within. And then again, Proverbs 26:15 picks up the figure of the lazy man burying his hand in the bowl, and it wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. Hooray! He got it back to his mouth. But it was a stupendous effort that wearied him, and he needs to go sit down or lie down, having accomplished that great effort. So there is here the failed satisfaction. But secondly, there is a category, the results of laziness. B, a deserved poverty. A deserved poverty. Proverbs 6 and verse 11. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. What's going to come? It's like you got an armed robber coming and forcing poverty on you. Proverbs 10 and verse 4. He who has a slack hand becomes poor. You see that slack rope there? I'm holding on to it so lightly, I'm not pulling on it. I'm not doing anything with it. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. Proverbs 20 and verse 4. The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. There were detailed time schedules for the Palestinian farmer. The rainy season is going to come in, what, from December, perhaps until March? There's no farming that's going to go. So you got to do the plowing in the fall. The first rain comes, softens up the soil, get that old wood plow out with maybe a little bit of a copper point or an iron point, and get to work. Well, no, it's too cold. It's chilly out there. And so he doesn't do the first step of the plowing, so he's not ready to do the sowing in the spring, so he doesn't have anything in harvest, but he expects that you are going to provide for him. Come on, brother. Come on, sister. Can't you give me some? Don't you see I don't have anything to eat? So he begs during harvest. He has a deserved poverty. Proverbs 20 and verse 13. Do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with bread. Sleep is a good and necessary item. Ignore sleep. Ignore your demand for sleep. And according to studies, you'll take a few years off of your life. It will hurt your health. So there's a place for sleep. But Solomon is talking here of an indolent sleep, of an indulgent sleep of the lazy man that will bring poverty, that when he's supposed to be working, he's hinged to the bed. But notice how the Proverbs speaks here in the latter phrase. Open your eyes. And what do you expect it to say? Open your eyes and see, right? No, open your eyes and you'll be satisfied with bread. What does it mean? Open your eyes, it's going to be right there in front of you. No, open your eyes and think. And know that you're going to have to plow in October, November if you're going to sow in March so that you can come to the harvest later on. Open your eyes, think. And it will work towards the end result of you being satisfied with bread. You don't do this, you come to poverty, a deserved poverty. Thirdly, see, what's the result of not working diligently? An ingrained pattern of laziness. Proverbs 19:15. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. This proverb is telling us that there is a progressive deterioration from an overall and general laxity about life to a state of being so deep in sleep that the lazy man is totally unconscious of his situation. He's in a deep sleep. So as Waltke says, idleness has a similarity to drunkenness. The drunkard and the lazy man are oblivious to their needs. It is like they are unconscious in a deep sleep. They don't know what's going on with them. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep. I'm suggesting it brings the result of an ingrained pattern of laziness. Fourthly, D, what's the result? A harder and more painful mess. Proverbs 15:19. The way of a lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. If you just do nothing, Proverbs 15:19. If you just do nothing, what's going to happen? Well, this fallen creation around you is going to work against you in this sin-cursed world. And you need to keep up on it. And if you don't keep up on it in a diligent way, then what's going to happen? His way is going to become like a hedge of thorns. It is a harder and more painful mess. When would you rather deal with those thorns? When it first starts to come up? Or when it's grown up and taken over the whole road? Now you try to get through that road where there's this hedge of thorns, and it's a more painful and harder mess to deal with. Now, this didn't just happen in 15 minutes, did it? And it's something as a result of decisions. I'm not going to, just a little bit more time, just a little bit more time here with this, just a little bit more game time. And then eventually, there is this hard and painful mess. On the other hand, the way of the upright did not just drop out of the sky. You look at the lazy man's got his hedge of thorns, and you look over here at the upright, and what does he have? He's got a highway. The road's been, this part has been pulled down, this part has been lifted up, it's leveled out, it's up high. If it rains over here, he's able to, a lot of work went into that. But a lot of work along the way has the end result that when he wants to walk from here to town, it's a free and easy path. It's a highway. But the lazy man, as a result of not going to do it, not today, maybe tomorrow, the end result is there's a hedge of thorns and it's a very difficult path and a huge mess to deal with for him to get from here to over there. Proverbs 24:31, a harder and more painful mess. Proverbs 24:31 takes this theme up. It's the third of the extended analogies of laziness. Proverbs 6, Proverbs 24, and then Proverbs 26, 13 through 16. But in the midst of this one, we'll simply grab verse 31. And there it was, the man's vineyard, all overgrown with thorns, surface was covered with nettles, its stone wall was broken down. Everything is tending towards chaos and ruin, and little bit by little bit, we need to keep up on it. Here, the untended fallen creation is winning the battle against the man. Now, notice with me, when I first read this, in one of the commentaries, I look back and say, well, where does it say anything about this being the son or this being the heir? The heir is not having, the heir, H-E-I-R, is not having to build up the wall nor plant the vineyard. It's like the vineyard has been handed to him. The vineyard complete with the wall around the property has been handed to him. He didn't have to build it. He didn't have to plant it. He just has to keep it up. But he doesn't keep it up. And it gets overgrown. And instead of having vines producing grapes, what does he have? The text tells us the surface was covered with nettles. And it was all overgrown with thorns. What would you rather eat? Grapes or thorns? What's got a greater nutritional value? You see, he didn't keep up with what was the result of much, much labor, perhaps even by an earlier generation, handed to him, and it still goes to pot. So if we're lazy, we think in terms sometimes, oh, that's too hard. That's too hard to take the garbage out, Mom. Well, you end up in a harder and more painful mess if you don't keep up with things along the way. Doesn't experience echo that of the Proverbs. But then fifthly, the fifth of the results, we're recognized as unreliable. We have a reputation as being unreliable. Proverbs 10 and verse 26, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so was the lazy man to those who send him. Acidic vinegar is an irritant to poor teeth, so I'm told. Smoke is an irritant to the eyes. I know that. The lazy man is worse than nothing. You got a lazy man and you send him on the mission, it's an irritant to you, like the acidic vinegar to your teeth, and the smoke being an irritant to the eyes. It's not just that nothing happened, it's something worse than nothing happened. Would you want to be regarded as an irritant to be avoided? I don't like smoke in the eyes. I'm going to take precautions to avoid getting smoke in the eyes. I don't like acidic vinegar going there to my teeth. So I'm going to avoid it. one of the results of laziness is being recognized as unreliable. When you have an opportunity to work, then you better work. F. What's the sixth? Other results, an undesirable employment. Proverbs 12, verse 24. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Let me give you Waltke. Ironically, the hand that avoids any work ends up performing the most burdensome work. And whoever cannot govern himself loses his independence and comes to drudgery. To put it bluntly, the diligent rise to the top and the lazy sink to the bottom. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. We've been looking here at the various results of laziness. Before we pass on, I just want to draw to your attention something of the graphic pictures that are given us in contrasting that of laziness with that of diligence. God has breathed out, and probably the most of these through Solomon, to give us the picture of a little ant with no overseer going about his work, busy, 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 and a guy lying on his bed being talked to when he's getting up, just a little more, a little more, a little more, and we're given a vivid contrast. We're given the vivid picture of an overgrown wall with the stones falling out and a place where there, I think it used to be a vineyard. And now it's all overgrown with thorns and there are nettles that are dominating the place. Pretty graphic picture for us. Do you think God's trying to make a point? The one that we've not come to yet, Proverbs 26, and we'll look at that in a minute, is a picture of a lazy man who is hinged to his bed. Fairly graphic picture. There's movement. He's alive. But he's hinged to the bed. The hand that is stuck in the wall. And it's not because the food grabbed him and kept him there. Vivid pictures. It's almost as if God wanted to make a point so that we would believe the truth of the Scriptures and not have to learn by the hard knocks of life the principles of laziness versus diligence. Let's take the lessons to heart. Roman numeral 3. The excuses flowing from laziness. And here we'll come to, first of all, Proverbs 22:13. Consider, first of all, A, the ridiculous character of the excuses. You teenagers think your excuses are good? Well, some excuses seem really good to the person offering them. Proverbs 22 and verse 13. The lazy man says, "There's a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets." Well, you can't expect me to go out of the house. This is what's going to happen to me. There's an irrational fear. Turn over to Proverbs 26:13. The lazy man says, "There's a lion in the road, a fierce lion in the streets. Not just the lion who might possibly eat me if I got him cornered, but this is a fierce one." An irrational fear. But let's look at Proverbs 26, this extended little parable here on the lazy man, verses 13 through 16. Let's at least read that together. The lazy man says, "There was a lion in the road, a fierce lion in the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and it wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly." You see, in this parable, and I don't think I would have noticed this on my own, but reading another, he's pointed it out to me, that the first thing that you have in verse 13 is that the lazy man is not going to move from his house. Well, there's a lion out there. I'd be a fool to move from this house. The next picture is, the lazy man is not going to move from his bed. Confined to the house, now confined to the bed. He's hinged there. And the next picture that is given is that the lazy man is stuck with his arm in the bowl. And it won't come back. It's not moving. You get something of what God is saying. The lazy man is characterized by a lack of movement. Can't go out of the house, can't get out of the bed, can't get my arm out of the bowl. Yes, it's a tragic comedy. It's okay for us to smile at what God is giving us here, as long as we take the lesson to heart. So what we're seeing there, A, is the ridiculous character of the excuses. There's a lion in the street. It's a fierce one. Really, really big one. Secondly, B, the ingrained persistence of the excuses. Verse 16 of Proverbs 26. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. You got seven men who are sensible and they can communicate the sensible thoughts that they have. These are wise men. It's like having your own cabinet, your own group of counselors. And then the wise man comes and says, yes, there is a lion in the street. And I said, well, have there been any reports of lions in this country? It doesn't matter to the foolish man. He is wise in his own eyes, and he's going to stick with his excuses, even if you've got seven wise counselors that can show the foolishness of the position. Sometimes as children, we can do that, can't we? Stick with our excuses, even though we kind of know ourselves that it's a little flimsy. But notice there is this emphasis of excuse making that is associated with laziness. One further thing I want to point out. Proverbs 26 and verse 12 leads into, it's talking here about a fool. It's not talking about the lazy man as such. But in 26:12, in concluding a section dealing with the fool, the book of Proverbs asks us, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than them than for him. Now, how much hope do you think there is for the lazy man who's making excuses? There's a lion in the street, and there are seven wise men who sit down with him, and he says, I don't care what you seven wise guys say. I'm going with my view of things. I'm going with my excuse. There's even less hope for a man who is steeped in his laziness. Doesn't it pain your heart to think of our society? Are we doing any good by providing everything for the lazy who will not work? We don't do our sons and daughters any good by letting them get away without their doing their hard work. Roman numeral 4. The greatest danger of laziness. In light of the broad principle of God wants us to be diligent, I say, first of all, A, apply yourself to enter a relationship with God. Matthew 11:12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Are you in a relationship with Jesus Christ? God may test you. Are you going to expend some labor to be rightly related with Him? To plead with God? To read the Scriptures? To talk to someone of how it is that I can be right with God? Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. The wisdom may be right there around them, but there's not enough effort to say, I want to be right with God, to follow through with that. Secondly, by way of application, apply yourself to growing in your relationship with God. Hear from 2 Peter 3:17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. In contrast, verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forevermore. Growing in grace is a responsibility that's laid on us. How do we grow in grace? We grow in spiritual enablement by exposing ourselves to the means of grace. And we want to balance all of this emphasis on diligent work, on plowing and planting and harvesting, and recognize that that all needs to be balanced with an emphasis on the daily means of grace. We need to be diligent in our plowing and our planting and our harvesting. But we also need to be diligent in taking delight in the law of the Lord day and night. And we need to be diligent as well in praying the prayer of Matthew 6 that our Savior taught us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. There needs to be a well-orbed, a full-orbed, and a well-balanced approach to our labor. And not only do we give ourselves to the daily means of grace, we give ourselves to the weekly means of grace. The God of the creation ordinance of labor is the God of the creation ordinance of the Sabbath. I work, and then I give myself to my spiritual focus on the God who has made me. Otherwise, if we don't maintain this balance, we won't be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Well, may God grant that as our vacations are largely over and we settle back into the routine, wistfully longing for the sand and for the waves, that we see that it's a good thing to be working. And may God's heart and God's character be duplicated in our hearts, in our character, as we recognize the soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Let's pray. Father, write your word on our hearts. Make us all to be those who are glorifying you in the realms of our work, whether it's schooling, whether it's farming, whether it's housework, caring for children, fulfilling the requirements of a vocation, we pray, our God, that you would be pleased to get glory by the way we serve you in this sphere. And we pray that as we do so, that we would have an eye on our Savior, who is very conscientious to finish all the work which you, O Father, had given him to do. We thank you for his example. We pray for the grace of your Holy Spirit. Give us delight in being like you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 540.